If that blessed your heart, say amen. I don't know about you, but I still love the old hymns. None more beautiful and meaningful than the old rugged cross. Today our churches, so many are getting filled with this music called Christian rock. It's neither Christian nor rock. In 40-some years, I've heard all kind of singers. I've heard the Nasal Twang Trio. They sound like this when they're up there singing. I've heard the Ball-Bearing Quartet. They're balling, and we're bearing it, amen, when they're singing. But nothing more beautiful, Brother Kent, than the old rugged cross. Well, I want to spend a few minutes in prayer time and pray for you and with you. So let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Preacher Andy, there's a need in my life this morning for prayer. Would you slip your hand up? There's a burden, a concern, situation, circumstance in your life. I see your hands all over. Father, in Jesus' name, we enter now into this important time of worship. Park Place Baptist Church, we're still alive and we're here, and there's a reason. I pray for each hand that's been lifted, each concern, each burden, each petition, that God, you might touch and minister and do what only you can do for these individuals, their needs, their concerns. Be with us now as we go into our service. We open your word and look at this subject today. What is the church to do? And we thank you for the beautiful music, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, but oh, what power it has still to save. And we pray today, if it be one today in this service without Christ, this will be the day they'll receive him as personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Matthew 28 in your Bibles this morning. If you're a first-time guest today, you've never been through the doors of Park Place Baptist Church until today, would you just slip your hand up? And I wanted that young couple to do that. And over here to my left, you're not a visitor today. You're our honored guest. Thank you for being here as interim pastor. And I keep emphasizing that. I'm the middleman between the last one and the next one. And so we're glad you're here, and we trust you'll get a blessing and be back with us. We need new people, and we look forward to today we see many more new people here with us. Matthew chapter 28 in your Bible, the closing of this gospel. Come down to the last three verses, 18, 19, and 20. I will not say today this is the most important message you'll ever hear me preach to and with you and for you, but I will say this, there will not be any that'll be any more important. So I hope I've got your attention. God put this message on my heart for this hour, and I believe it's relevant. I want you to remember that word, relevant. I believe it's a timely message. It takes us back to our Lord's final words on earth before he ascended, went up back to heaven, to go back home to where he came. Before his ascension, these final words of our Lord and Savior bring us into clear focus. Are you hearing me this morning? Bring us into clear focus with everything the Christian life is all about, especially what the church is all about. If we misunderstand or fail to hear and apply, listen this morning, what Jesus said in these verses, then we've missed the whole point of Christianity and the purpose of what we call the church. We commonly call this passage Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Leave your Bibles open. I hope you take a pen and pad, something to write on. What I'm going to give you today is simple, but I believe significant. It's called the Great Commission. Not the great suggestion, not the great consideration. And I'm afraid today for many churches, it's now the great omission. It's the Great Commission that Jesus gave in his final words. It's a mandate. It's a command. It's an expectation Jesus had for his people to accomplish. So notice with me, verse 18, and the first thing I want you to jot down is his power. His power. Notice Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. This is his disciples who are gathered there on the Mount of Olives. They're there to hear their Lord's final words. If you recall, when Jesus died and he was buried, 3 days later he arose from the grave. We have a living Savior today. And he spent 40 days on earth making various appearances to as few as one, to as many as 500, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. So after those 40 days and those appearances to give assurance of his resurrection, he's about to go back home to heaven. And I believe one of the most amazing sights these disciples were privileged to see. Jesus began to rise, and the Bible says he lifted off and went up, going back home. But he spake these words. So notice there in verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Not some, not most, but all. That's an awesome statement. That's an awesome claim for Jesus to say, all power is given unto me. What did he mean by that? He meant that he had all authority. Absolute, all authority, all power. First of all, he had all of that to create all things. The Bible says in the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say that there was nothing created that Jesus did not create. In Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that he created all things. He had all power. He just spoke it into existence. He had all power to give sight to the blind. He had all power to make the crippled man to walk. He had all power to touch the leper, and he was immediately cleansed. He had all power to raise the dead. But he also had all power, all authority to do the greatest thing of all. That was to what? Forgive sin. Jesus said, I have all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority means Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do everything. think. We're under his authority or his power in the local church. You see, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, he purchased the church with his own blood. We're purchased possession. He has all power or authority in our personal and individual lives. So here's a relevant question. Do you believe this morning Jesus has all power? Park Place Baptist Church today, do you believe our Lord and Savior has all authority? That means yes, that means no, and that means I don't know. Let me see the whites of your eyes to make sure you're still breathing. He has all power. He still does. He forever will. Jesus Christ has all power, all authority. But notice verses 19 and 20. Not only his power, but I want you to write this down. Write this down particularly because here is our movement toward the answer to the question, what is the church to do? But let me not be too general. Let me be specific this morning on this November 7, 2021. What is Park Place Baptist Church to do? Notice, secondly, write this down, his plan or his program. Verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we'll pause there to finish the end of verse 20 at the end of the message. His plan, his program. 2,000 years ago, he said these words in the first century. Here we are in the 21st century reading these words, and they're just as relevant, just as timely, just as much for us here in the 21st century as they were in these believers, these disciples' lives who heard these, who were there to hear these words and see the one who spoke these words. They're just as much for you and I today as they were for these first century disciples. His plan, his program. He lays it out in four simple statements. I want you to see these, jot these down. Number one, notice he says, go therefore. Do you realize this morning you cannot spell the word gospel without G-O? It is not possible to spell gospel without G-O. This phrase, go ye therefore, translates more clearly in the Greek, as you are going. As you are going, as you are moving about. Where did these first century believers, where did they go? I want to show you another passage, and again, leave your Bible open. When I get up to preach, there's only one thing I preach out of, and that's the Bible, the Word of God. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke. Chapter 1, we see the same scenario. See the same words. We see the same thing that we call the Great Commission. Dr. Luke records for us these words, that he was told that what they heard. Notice in verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power. The word is dunamis. We get our word dynamite. It means explosive power. Not passive power, but explosive power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that would happen 10 days later on the day of Pentecost, here in the second chapter of Acts. The day we say the church was birthed or conceived. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, came down on those 120 believers who were assembled in that upper room for 10 days in harmony, in unity, in prayer. So we know they weren't Baptists. Can I get a witness? Hey, starting tonight, tomorrow through Tuesdays, our Baptist State Convention over in Greensboro, and I guarantee you four or five Baptists will have eight or nine opinions. But these early 120 were in unity, harmony, in one accord, constant prayer for 10 days, and they got that power. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. So notice here, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. He says, first of all, go back to where it all started. Back to where I was crucified. Go back to Jerusalem and start there. But then notice, and then in all Judea, and then in all Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let me give you Royal's paraphrase for that geography. Our Jerusalem, Park Place Baptist, our Jerusalem is Thomasville. That's where we're sitting in this beautiful edifice here in Kern Street area. Our Jerusalem is Thomasville. Our Judea is North Carolina. We have North Carolina missions. Our Samaria is our entire nation. And then maybe these shoeboxes will go somewhere out of the nation to some child in a foreign country. We have our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, do we not? To support foreign missionaries. When you and I can't go, we can help send others. So here in Acts 1:8, we see the Great Commission. So here's a relevant question for us today. Are we going? Park Place, are we going? Then notice the second phrase, to make disciples. Your Bible may say teach, but the original is the verb to disciple. What does that mean? What's implied to make disciples? That means or implies to win people to Christ, and when people are won to Christ, we just don't win them to Christ and then let them go. To disciple them means we bring them in and teach them. When a saved person gets saved, they need to be discipled. They need to be helped to begin that new journey of their life. They start out as babes in Christ, and one day, hopefully, they'll be mature believers. But in that process, they're to be discipled, to help begin a new and growing life in Christ. That's part of the responsibility of the church. That's part of the answer to the question, what is a church to do? How many remember, I might have asked you this a week or so ago, how many remember the old days of church training union? You know what all that was about? That was discipling. That was teaching. That was enabling. That was equipping. So here's a relevant question. Are we winning the lost and getting them saved, and are we discipling them? Are we doing that? Or is that a challenge that's before us? I'm afraid this morning, listen carefully, I'm afraid this morning we're losing ground in this Bible Belt, so-called Bible Belt country of ours. I believe with all my heart this great nation was founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. I don't care what some former president or any politician or anyone says, I believe America was founded as a Christian nation. Can't get a witness. Our early founding fathers stood firm on this blessed book. But today, Christianity is not the fastest growing religion in this country. Do you know what is? The Muslim religion is outdistancing Christianity in growth. In fact, Christianity, listen, as we sit here today in the warmth of this sanctuary on these padded pews with stained glass windows and everything at our fingertips, Christianity is experiencing a rapid decline in this country. Baptisms has declined year after year among Southern Baptists. I believe I gave you this statistic before, but I believe it's worth hearing again. It's projected that no less and perhaps many more than 1,200, that's 1,200 Southern Baptist churches will go out of business this year. They'll close their doors, turn off their lights for the last time. Does that startle you? 1,200 and perhaps more Southern Baptist churches will cease to exist this coming year. Third statement, notice. He says, baptizing them. Water baptism by immersion, I believe, is an outward expression of an inward experience. No, it doesn't add to or complete one's salvation. The moment one confesses Christ and asks forgiveness of sin and asks the Lord to come into the heart, you're saved and saved as you'll ever be saved. Water baptism is just a picture of that experience. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if we're not baptizing, then we're not winning lost people to Jesus. When's the last time we've seen behind me that very significant part of this building called the baptistry? Wouldn't you like to see those baptistry waters stirred again? Can I get a witness? To see a lost person now saved come down those steps, and I'd be glad to be in there in whatever attire to get wet. I remember one time in Jacksonville, Florida, I forgot to bring a change of underwear, so I just kept on the wet ones, but I was wearing a light gray suit before I got finished preaching. My area had got dark there, so I had to stay hidden behind the pulpit. Can't get a witness right there. Always bring a complete change of clothes when you baptize. I'd love to go down those steps and into that water and have people come down to be baptized. So the relevant question is why? Why are baptisms declining among Southern Baptists year after year after year? They're going down, going down. Some 5,000 Southern Baptist churches last year recorded zero baptisms for a whole year. 5,000. And that's just the ones who recorded. A lot of Southern Baptist churches don't turn their statistics in. There's a fourth statement, notice, teaching them. Teaching them. What does that mean? We bring them into the Bible teaching atmosphere, environment of our church, and get them into that organization that has a place for every member of the family. But if I said this to you a week or so ago, that's the Sunday school. Today, a lot of our churches, a lot of our Baptist churches, they don't call it Sunday school anymore. They just call it cell groups, small cell groups. And many of them don't even meet on campus. They meet off campus in homes. And all it amounts to is a fellowship, eat and greet, and maybe they may open the Bible for some kind of a so-called lesson. I still believe in the Sunday school being at the church. Can I get a witness? Well, that was a week when I'll take a holy grunt from somebody. Sunday school. Sunday school attendance among Southern Baptists is dropping like flies in most of our churches. There was a time when Sunday school was a right called the right arm of church growth. A significant arm of outreach. Reaching families and bringing them into church and assimilating them. The word assimilating means bringing them into the church and holding them there. A few years ago, I heard Dr. Alan Taylor was at one time a few years ago with Dr. Johnny Hunt at First Baptist Church, Woodstock, Georgia. Dr. Hunt's now with our home mission board, and Dr. Taylor's in a church in Tennessee, but he used to do Sunday school conferences. And I heard him say one time that people who were enrolled and active in Sunday school, after 5 years, 80% of those people were still involved in the church. And amazingly, the statistic was the same. Those who were not in Sunday school, after 5 years, 80% were not involved. Sunday school assimilates people, keeps them tied into the church. So the relevant question is, how's our Sunday school? And I know COVID is still out there, and we're all wearing these little old masks that I got stuck here in my pocket. But I believe eventually we need to get back to Sunday school and try to reach people and get them gathered into those classes where they can have small group Bible study. His power. He has all power. His plan, his program. But now look at the last part of verse 20. And let me show you, I believe, the most important thing of all. And that's his presence, his promise. Notice these last words that Jesus spoke, and let them resonate in your mind. Listen to these words. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 in verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He's still on the throne. He has all power. He's given us his plan or program. It's just as much for Park Place Baptist as any other church. It's to be plugged into his great commission to carry it out. And aren't you glad today those first century believers did not fail? They did not drop the ball. That's why you're sitting here today in a Baptist church, because they did reach the world. And then Matthew tacks on what every Baptist preacher likes to hear. And if he hears enough of them, he'll preach faster. Look what Matthew, the last word in Matthew's gospel, amen. That means I agree with that. I affirm that. So here's my last relevant question. Do you agree with what Jesus said, to go and reach, to disciple, to baptize, to teach? Do you agree today that we have our Jerusalem? You know, this church, I don't know what year it was established. Probably some of y'all know, there may even be some charter members in here. I don't know that much history yet. But I imagine this church started here, was placed here with purpose. It's not here by accident. We're still here. That means we have a purpose. Again, it's not the great consideration, not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. So let me show you one more in the nearby, the very next gospel, the Gospel of Mark. And turn your pages to where the Gospel of Mark comes to an end. And that would be chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and notice Mark's conclusion, verses 19 and 20. Mark's conclusion. You'll see in verses 15 through 18, Jesus' words in red letters, the Great Commission. But then Mark records in verses 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. That's his ascension. Just started rising and rising until he was finally out of sight. And sat, notice, on the right hand of God, where he is this very moment, waiting for the Father to say, "Son, go get your bride." And that'll be a message I'll be bringing you in early January on the end times and a panorama of prophecy and the rapture of the church and all of that. But between now and then, we got to get ready for Christmas. So he says in verse 20, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." Underline that, I like that. The Lord working with them. Guess what, Park Place? We can't do this by ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus working with us. "And confirming the word with signs following." And Mark says, amen. His power. Jesus has all power, all authority. He still does. His plan, his program, is to go and reach and win people to Christ, and get them baptized, and placed into the church, discipled and taught, so that it might grow and mature as Christians, like many of you in this building. I assume you're a mature Christian believer. And His promise, His presence, I'm with you always. That means He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He'll work with us to get the job done. And what a job we have. Do you know when the Great Commission comes to an end? When we leave this world. When Gabriel toots and we scoot. But not until then. As long as we're here, we have the Great Commission to fulfill. And every one of us are witnesses. You're either a good one or a bad one. A witness is someone who knows the truth and will testify to the truth. If you're saved today, that's what we're to share. How Jesus has saved us. That's the authority of the Word of God. Would you bow in prayer?